I'm Amy Eddings. It's WNYC's Financial 411, our take on the economic news of the day. After a steep drop last Friday, stocks rebounded today. The Dow added 57 points to close at 10,154. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 had gains as well. That's despite a negative report from the National Association of Home Builders, whose confidence index sank last month to its lowest level since March 2009. Home builders' stocks, including Toll Brothers, fell on the news. And we'll have more stats on the housing market later in the week, which are also expected to indicate the market is weak. Also today, Jennifer Convertibles has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The sofa bed seller says it is having liquidity problems. The company already has an agreement with its largest creditor and foreign supplier, a Chinese manufacturer, to convert debt into equity of the company. Jennifer Convertibles is based in Woodbury on Long Island. Is democracy good for charities? And are Facebook and Twitter really democratic? Those questions are increasingly coming to the fore as foundations turn to social media to help decide where to direct their money, making charities compete more directly with each other than ever before. Kate Taylor has been writing about this for the New York Times. We have her on the line now. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the 411.
Hi. Thank you.
For those who don't tweet or have a Facebook account, give us a quick explainer. How does this work? And what are some of the foundations holding these contests?
Sure. Well, some of the companies, they're not actually necessarily the foundations that are part of those companies, but the companies and their marketing arms are Chase, American Express, which is one that I wrote about the other day, Pepsi, and now I just noticed another one recently from Kohl's department stores. And basically, they take anywhere from, $5 to $20 million out of their marketing budget, and they set up a competition on Facebook or some other social media site and ask people to come online and register and vote for their favorite charity.
So in your story for the Times, you quote from a tweet that Lincoln Center sent out last Thursday. Here it is. I know we've asked before, but we really need to beat StoryCorps. We need your help. Show some love and vote for the arts. Now, that tweet caused some raised eyebrows because of its sharp elbows. What was that about?
Usually, nonprofits tend to be, try to be pretty diplomatic and generous towards each other. Obviously, in any kind of funding, there is, in a sense, a competition, whether it's for government or foundation funding or private fundraising. So this was just a little too bald.
Yeah. This was for an American Express online contest to win a $200,000 grant, by the way. Let's hear from one of the foundations about why they think these competitions on social media sites are a good idea. Here's Kim Davis, president of the J.P. Morgan Chase Foundation, on this program late last year.
It's really lessons learned from President Obama's campaign strategy. It's not about the level of giving. It's more about the level of participation.
I should add that Chase got in hot water not long after that interview with the 411 because it excluded some groups from its contest, a pro-marijuana and an anti-abortion group among them. I mentioned before what's in it for the foundations that do these kinds of contests, and you mentioned visibility. What are some of the downsides?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have questioned whether arts funding should be a popularity contest. The traditional way of corporations giving money was that they would have, somebody in charge of their cultural philanthropy who would be, very knowledgeable about the cultural world, go to lots of performances, go to lots of exhibitions, and really do a lot of research to determine who was doing good work that should be supported. And by opening it up in this way, you're basically asking, who can sort of get the most number of people to vote for you, and maybe some organization that does really wonderful work that serves a smaller audience isn't going to get noticed.
And is that a bad thing?
You can see it both ways, because on the one hand, there's money that's going to the arts or other charitable causes that might not be otherwise, since it is out of the marketing budget instead of the general philanthropic budget. But at the same time, you know that in some ways their motivation and the way that they're designing this program is for marketing purposes, is not necessarily to, get the most bang for their buck in terms of making a difference in the arts world.
Kate Taylor covers the business of the arts for the New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC's Financial 411. This is WNYC.